worship him so that I might feel his presence. That's a little bit selfish. I want to get something back. But then it just hits me. You know, Lord, I just need to love you. Just because. He's a great God. He created us to give him praise. You may notice some drywall work, and this is somewhat related to the flood we had, and hoping to have it looking the normal color by next Sunday. I kind of have been wanting, since we got in the building, to take the trim from around those metal doors, the trim that really didn't go there. So I did, and I'm going to be happier with it. Maybe no one else will notice it, but I do. But at the same, it was a good time to do that. And but, you know, really, as far as what could have happened in this building, it could have been a lot worse than just some drywall damage. And we may have it just, my wife and I are trying to determine if this carpet, it looks like it's stained. I can't tell. I'm going to call the pros out and say, look at that carpet. Tell me if it looks like it's ruined. The adjuster told me, he said, if it is, we'll replace it. And we'll see about that. And there's some other damage around, but it's all right. But anyway, I wanted just to let you know, we're not doing this on purpose because we just like white around the doors and around the baseboards. There's a purpose to all of this, a method to this, and hopefully it'll be done. And it could have been a lot worse. Amen. I want to go to the Word of the Lord and Mark chapter 4. One reminder, there are notes, little handouts on the little table on the left when you go out. If you do not know where the park is, Lake Parker Park, it is off of Lakeland Hills Boulevard, and there's two entrances to the park. You want to go in the north entrance because there's a canal or a creek. You can't get a drive across to the south side. And the map will lead you left at Publix down Markham, and then right when you get to Winn-Dixie, and then merge onto Lakeland Hills. You go down just about a mile, and Robson Road comes across Lakeland Hills and goes right into the park. If you can remember, you'll see on your map Robson Road. And if you need help, there's many people that are going to be going. You can probably follow somebody. We're going to have a great time there. Osprey, O-S-P-R-E-Y, Osprey Pavilion. There's four pavilions, and you'll see us there. It's going to be a fun day, and the jump house for the kids is already set up, and it's really massive. I always wish I could go in there and jump, but I don't. And they didn't have those whenever I was a kid. We just had to go out in the backyard and jump. We jumped on grass, pile of leaves. We were so poor. There were trampolines. I didn't have one. They just sort of came out. I probably should get another trampoline. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprung up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Then he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He was saying, please understand what I'm trying to tell you in this parable, in this story. Let's ask the Lord to bless his word today. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask your hand to be upon us. Our fellowship later, Lord, let your hand be on us there. But this is your word. God, prepare our minds and hearts that we might receive this. Lord, that we might be challenged. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated today. I want to talk about you. This sermon is directed at you. And I want to talk about the good ground of your heart. The Lord spoke about four kinds of ground, but I want to talk about the good ground. And the good ground of your heart. And the seed is always powerful. The Word of God is always powerful. No matter where it lands, it has potential. It lands on good ground or poor ground, it has potential. And I'll show you in a little later that if it lands in a place where the weeds are, that still, it has potential. It's powerful. It changes. God's Word changes what it comes into contact with. You cannot read the Word of God and be the same. If you read it day by day, it will challenge you and it will change you. I must maintain constant focus on my motives and my passion so that I pray and ask according to His purpose in my life. So I have to examine my motives and say, am I right where I need to be that the Word of God can affect me the way it's supposed to affect me? It's necessary. The seed is often wasted on anything but good ground. If I'm talking today and you're going, nope, not going to hear you. I know we don't do that literally, but you know, when we were children, do you ever remember stopping your ears up and, you know, making noise and la, 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 you know, your friends are talking and it was real fun to do it, but when someone did it to you, it was horrible. I remember getting so angry one time, I just gritted my teeth. I didn't know what else to do. Just, you know, I'm trying not to hurt somebody, but they won't listen, and they just got their fingers in their ear, and they're just making a noise, la, 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 can't hear you. You know, they're just, you don't know where to go with that. Well, what the Lord does is He continues to allow His Word to fall on the ground, and it's up to me to see what I do with my heart so that it might receive that seed and do something with it. And so it's really wasted on anything but good ground, but there's even hope there. The human mind it's fluid from day to day. I mean, look at what mood you were in 3 days ago. You know, the reason that's a funny question is because all of us were different and in different states of minds 3 days ago, and we're trying to think, what was 3 days ago? Was it Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Was it Thursday? And, you know, you're counting back, and then you're thinking, what was I doing? Thursday was a decent day, yeah. But see, it probably wasn't so much of an important day that you could answer me immediately and say, I know exactly what was going on, and it was not good. Our hearts change from day to day. Our moods change from day to day. And we're affected by where we are. We're affected by what's around us. But, you know, if I'm looking for a way to become more powerful in God, and more productive in my prayer life, the answer is in how I cultivate my mind to receive the Word of God. And this is not just a beginner's situation. This is for anyone right now, because I still have to challenge myself to say, self, what are you going to do with the Word of God that you gather today? Are you going to allow it to affect you, or are you going to say, I'm all set, been through this before, I am what I am. I want to always be able to change and be challenged by the Word of God. So what I must need to do, I need to be able to identify my heart. Let's all do that today. Let's try to identify. Is my heart stony ground? Remember He said stony, some seed fell among the stony ground. Is it weeds and the Word that falls in areas where I allow other traffic, in other words, the wayside? Does the Word of God fall in those areas? I must try to identify where the Word of God is going whenever I hear it. I need to know where the Word of God is going when I open my Bible each day and I read Scriptures. I need to know, God, am I doing this to say that I read it, or am I doing it to feed my soul? Because there's something about these different kinds of areas where God's Word goes that we've got to identify, because we may be selling ourselves short and not living up to the potential that we could. Matthew 5 and 13 through 16, He said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our light is His Spirit within us, amen? And that Spirit is maintained by a constant flow of the Word of God and our worship upwards to Him. So these two examples we have here of God's influence in our life are both variable in nature. They're not always the same. It's not because God's not the same, it's because I'm not the same. My soil changes, the mind of man changes, and where the seed falls and how much effect it has changes from day to day in our life. It says salt, you know, can lose its saltiness and it can begin to not be used for anything good. And I've never tasted unsalty salt. Now, there is a salt that's called no salt. It's called no salt, and that's for people the doctor says, you don't need any more sodium, so we're going to let you move over to no salt. And I guess it's salt that just doesn't have salty flavor to it. It's just crystals. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to knock no salt. But it's odd that it would be called no salt. What if they just came out with no water? Just empty bottles. You can buy air. I saw an ad the other day. You can buy air. It's compressed air from another country pressed into these bottles, and they're selling it for $1,200. You can get air from a foreign country. And if you got $1,200, I'd like to show you the ad. If you want to buy some, they'll ship it to your house, and it'll make somebody very rich that's just putting air into a bottle. But see, that's like one of those things you're wondering, how in the world, first of all, did they think of the idea, and who's buying air? Because I want to tell you something. I just took a breath, and it was free. See there? Yeah, I'm not going to. I don't think I can take Lakeland air and sell it to someone else and make a mint. I don't know. I like Lakeland, but I just don't think our air is something that I could sell. And by the same token, the things that we get from God, if we don't make use of it, if it's not effective in changing our life, then what good is it? So the Word of God is quick. That means powerful. It is sharp and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. That means it has power and it is very concise. The Word of God does what it's intended to do. It has a purpose in our life. And so when I hear the Word of God, I must not get into a rut to go, it's just another Sunday. It's just another Sunday, you know, and I'll listen and I'll see if it helps me. And have you ever found your mind wandering and you come back about three-fourths into the sermon and going, oh, I checked out for a moment. I wonder where he's at now. All right, I'll raise my hand. I've done that before. And what's terrible is that sometimes when I'm preaching and I'm like, wow, where did I go? We are commanded to maintain our identity and our luminance. Our human nature will work against that difference brought on us by the Holy Ghost. In other words, God gave you His Spirit, not because it was a whole lot like your spirit. He said, no, your spirit doesn't work, so I'm going to put my spirit in you, and it's going to have a better effect in you because you need my light to shine because you're dark. What, you're calling me dark? Well, yeah, it went back to when Adam, you know, he messed up, and everybody after that got a little darkness in them. And so the Lord lets His light shine in our darkness and help us out. But we cannot live for God unless the Word of God helps us from time to time. We need the Word of God. Amen. But my point today is, where is the Word of God going when I hear it? Does it affect me? Does it make me effective? Or is it falling on one of these different kinds of ground? See, I control what affects me and what I allow into my mind, and you do too. Amen. Have you ever turned on the radio and listened to the news, and about 10 minutes later you wish you hadn't have listened to the news? There's a lot of bad news. You know, what's bad in one network is good news in the other network. So you just got to figure which network, you know, you want to go to. And it's good in one and bad in the other. Recognizing my obligation to being a reflection of God. That's us. That's all of us. We are a reflection of God. And then acting on that purpose is the process that is brought by prayer and preaching and the Word. Now, let me say that again in English, because It's a sentence I actually put on here because I wanted to say everything that's in here. But I have to recognize what God wants me to do. Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, I've got to be a reflection of His light. Otherwise, there's no purpose in His light shining in my life. I have to say, Lord, let your light shine in me and let me be your light. Now, the Bible talks of some ladies that had lamps and they didn't have enough oil, and half of them did. I'll get to that in a moment. But remember, we have a flame that has to burn, and the fuel of the light is the Spirit of God, the oil. We need that on a daily basis. And so that is the light. He said, you're light of the world. And we all are lights. And he said, you're salt of the earth. We all are salt. We have to recognize there's a need for us to maintain that integrity that he set us online to maintain. There's something to be said for that in our daily life. And so I maintain that when I pray. I maintain that by hearing the Word of God. I maintain it by reading the Word of God. I maintain it by meditating on the things of God. So therefore, it can't just be when I walk in here and then walk out. It can't be just that. It's got to be a whole life. It's got to be a whole life. John 14 says in verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Meaning this, when I leave, my Spirit's going to go in you. You've got me with you, you know, but I will be in you. He said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That right there should get everybody excited if you've never understood that you have right there the ability to have anything you need in your life. Because when you pray and consistently go before God with your needs, two things will happen. Either God is eventually going to answer your prayer, or he is going to turn your understanding around till you know why you should pray a little bit differently, and then you'll ask for what you need to ask for. Teaching and preaching sharpens your focus and allows you to pray for what you need to pray for. Amen. But we can't come here and hear the Word of God and lift up his name and go home and do nothing that connects to this right here. We got to connect ourselves when we're at home to what we're hearing in here. We got to live the life out there that we're hearing about in here. That's the only way it works. Amen. I can't just plug in here and say, all right, this is the time I'm going to get all my religion, and then go home and live like the other team. Oh, Lord, let us understand that is a lifestyle change. And what an awesome life that it is. I love this life. Whatever, he said, you ask in my name, I will do it. You know, if I have cultivated the soil of my mind and allowed the influence of God's Word to change me every day, I will be able to ask according to his desires for me and have what I desire. See, the Word of God fixes us and changes us and directs us so we know how to pray. We pray in the Spirit. We pray according to his will. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost does. His influence in my mind directs me and directs my aim and focus. So we either don't ask, we ask and forget it, or we pray with wrong motives. Those are the things Jesus talked about. I can assure you, I've done all of that. I've prayed with the wrong motives. You know what? You know, God already knows. It's kind of like a four-year-old coming up and asking a question, and, you know, the parent knows exactly what they're asking for. You know, can I do this? You know how the kids are. They're so transparent. And when we go before God, we are so transparent. So it does me well just to be honest with him from the get-go and say, Lord, look, you know me. You know my failures. You know my uprisings, my downsettings. You know my thoughts are far off. So here I am, Lord. Coming to you honestly. I'm just me, but I have a need. And we bring it before the Lord. James says this, James 4 and 1 through 3, where do wars and fights come from among you? Now let me remind you, James is writing to the church. He's writing to the Jerusalem church. He said, you people that have been baptized in that name and been filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, I want to ask you something. Where do fights and wars come from among you? Are you kidding me, James? You mean these people have already, after 40 years of being in existence, they're already starting to fight and have issues? Well, he's writing it. He said, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. He's talking about with their words. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive. There's some, he said, you don't have it because you don't ask. But now he's saying, but then there's those that ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Some of you, he said, are going before God. You're asking him, but you're asking with wrong motives so that you can just have a pleasurable life. If you're spending all your time praying for a bigger fishing boat and God hasn't provided a bigger fishing boat, back up and re-examine the motive there and say, all right, what matters here? You know, I'm not against fishing or boats or fish. I know they said the two best days of owning a boat is the day you buy it and the day you sell it. That's what I've heard. And I think there's probably good days in between there. But I'm not on boats right now. But I'm just talking about this. He said, you know, you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. There's no need to struggle, in other words. Don't fight with each other. Ask and just keep on asking. It's what it sounds like. It is. It's just what he says, just ask me and just keep on asking me. Why? Because what God is about is relationships with you. See, people think it's trying to avoid hell. There's people that think going to church, they're going to preach to me about hell, and I got to try to avoid going there. Well, that would be good to avoid that. I'm going to be honest. It's good to know that you want to do whatever it takes not to go to the bad place. So just, you know, I'm trying to be real plain about it. It's not a good thing. The way I read it in the Bible, it's not a positive. They said weeping and gnashing and thrashing and it's hot. And no, it's not going to be good. So I'm not here to tell you. I think we know we need to avoid that. But that's not what living for God is about. That's for unbelievers that hear the word and say, I'm not going to pay attention to it. But what the Word of God is about is a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Someone you talk to every day. He's not just my way to get out of jail free card. He's not my way just to get out of debt, but he'll do all those things. He's not just my God that'll bring me peace when I'm going through a storm. That's not all he does, but he will do that. But it's about a daily relationship with him so that every day I live, I can talk to him and I can walk with him. And he opens up the doors for me and he shines a light in my life and he gives me peace where I didn't have peace. He comforts my soul, and it's a relationship like no other relationship you can ever have. That's why he says, why don't you just ask and I will do it for you, but you just gotta ask me. It's about a relationship where he does what we ask him to do, or if we aim in the wrong direction, he'll help us out. Amen. He's a good God. In Mark 4:14, he says this, explaining, now I'm going back to that parable. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, this is the wayside. The wayside is the path in between this guy's field and that guy's field. It's the path you're dragging the basket you're going to put your crops in or the bag with the seeds. It's the wayside. He said, but what happens is, when I talked about the wayside, when they hear the word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. This is something that really happens. You hear the word of God, and in your heart you're going, that convicted me. That sounded like that's true, and there's something in me that stirred up. I need to make a change. I need to serve God. He goes, those by the wayside, their hearts are like the wayside. He said, before they can act on what they hear, the birds come and it eats the seed. He said, what happens? Satan comes and he takes the seed out of their heart. And they go, whew, glad that's over. Felt a little pressure for a while, but I think I'm okay now. And a reasoning from the enemy comes into their mind. And that's what happens. He says, now, these are like those on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness and just clap and say, yes, that was a wonderful sermon. I understand it. But they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. They don't endure very long because there's no depth. It springs up quickly, but the roots don't go down to find that lower place of water and nutrients, and so that they just last a little while, and they're really glad, but they have no root in themselves. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution or any excuse at all comes along, immediately they stumble. I've seen that so many times. A flash in the pan, but there's no root. You know, really what all it comes down to is this. When we receive the Word of God, if we would give it, understand he wants a relationship, and give him some of our time and just go to him and say, God, I don't really know how to pray, but I want to talk to you about what I heard. And I just want to tell you, Lord, I'd like to know more. Do you know that would be a great prayer right there? Because it's not about the words you say. It's about you're praying in faith to a God who hears. And there is a version of God's relationship for every single person in the world. Amen. Have you thought about that? He's not saying, you need to be this sort and like this. And, you know, there's jobs you can go to, and they have requirements for you to work at places. And you go to LRMC, Lakeland Regional, and you go in there and say, I think I'd like to be either a heart surgeon or brain surgeon, whichever y'all have opening for. And they're going to want to see more than just you standing in front of a desk. Where did you go to school? Oh, well, Lakeland High. They're not going to be able to hire you with the high school education to do brain surgery or heart surgery. There's requirements. But do you know there are places that you could go to that would say, that's fine. You've had a high school education, or you have experience in this or in that. That's perfect. You know, you've done this before. You know, I didn't go to brain college, but I've worked with bricks and stone and wood and saws and sawdust, and I've been in holes and wore steel-toed boots and had to go buy the kind that they required because that kind wasn't, and wore awful safety harnesses that trips you more than helps you, and hard hats and safety glasses, and I've done all of that. LRMC don't care. They would not let me be a brain surgeon. But it got me the jobs I needed in a lot of places. And I'm all right with that. See, whatever I am and wherever we come from, God is saying, I got a place for you. There's a place prepared for you in my kingdom. Amen. It doesn't matter who and what we are. And that voice in our heads might say, yeah, but if you only knew. No, listen, God knows everything. And he still says, I need you. I got a place for you. We just have to have a heart that says, I have a place for God's seed to go, and I'm just going to try it out. See, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Becomes unfruitful because they're too busy. They have other things in their life. Those are the ones. They just, I love the church. I like what I feel, but I don't want to put things down. They still have a chance, by the way. All of these had a chance. They did. There's ways. See, verse 20 says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. That this is the good ground is this. They hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. It just tells you the good ground means I'm ready to receive it. I'm ready to receive it. I'm ready to receive it. Here's the good news, and the word gospel comes from the word meaning good news. The good news is this. The way I've heard the word of God in the past doesn't mean the way I need to apply it today. I could have been stony ground. And now I'm saying, I'm good ground now. I could have been wayside. The bird stole the seed before I had a chance. And then today I could say, Lord, I really want your word to have an effect on me. There's something happens to a seed when it's pressed into the ground. You don't get to watch it. You know, when the seed is pressed, you don't leave seeds out in the packets or in the seed sacks, you know, if you're doing serious farming. You don't leave it in the sack to say, look at my seeds I got. There's a point where you got to hide the seeds. And they're going to be hit under the ground, and you've just got to know there's a process going on that I don't see. That's very important right there. That when we hear the Word of God, the best thing we can do with the Word of God is water it with a little bit of attention and say, God, I don't even know how to pray to you, but I'm asking you now that you would bless the Word in me and let it direct me in the way that I need to go. Believe it or not, when you just allow the seed your attention to say, Lord, whatever you want to do, do it. What you're saying is water it, Lord. Go ahead and let the rain fall down and go ahead and forgive me of what I've done wrong and help me to allow you to do something good in my life. What you're saying is, I'm not going to be among thorns anymore. I'm not going to be the wayside. I'm not going to be shallow ground, but I am going to be the seed on good ground, because now my attitude is, God, just have your way in my life. Do what you want to do in my life, God. Go ahead and make me into somebody else. I trust my maker to know what's right in my life. Paul said, there's not many that are noble, not many wise. How many brain surgeons are here? Reason I'm asking is I was afraid I was offending some people. And so there's no brain surgeons here. We're in good company. We're in good company. Amen. Because it doesn't matter what you are or what strata you're from, the Word of God still can have an effect on your life. An amazing effect. Let us stand. See, what he was telling the disciples, he said, it's about the soil. It's about the soil. And so the most important work that we can do in regards to what I'm saying today is the work we need to do is work on the soil, because that's where the Word of God falls. Every time we hear it, it falls in our hearts. So what I need to do, cultivate my mind. Cultivate my heart, Lord. I need good ground. Lord, when your word goes forth, I just want to have good ground. Here's someone I'm talking to right now. Your life is a cycle, and you keep going around and having the same problem over and over again. All right? I'm telling you, it's the Word of God, but you need to water it. That seed of the Word. You need to partake of the Word. You need to hear preaching. You need to read the Word, but you need to water it. You need to go before God in prayer and say, dear Lord, change me. I don't know how you can, but I'm asking you, God, right now to change me. Amen. I'm talking to somebody right now that you feel that you are on the bottom and you've lost at every turn and you don't know how you could start over. I'm telling you right now, the Word of God has been sown, and now you need to water that Word of God and say, Lord, you do what you've got to do and help me to get out of this rut that I'm in. I feel like I'm doing the same things over and over again, but I need you, God, to pick me up out of this place. I've made excuses all my life. I've pointed at others and blamed this and blamed my upbringing, and I've blamed everybody, but I know now, God, that you take whatever's uneven and you make it even. You take those that are cast down and you raise them back up, and I can depend on my God to lift me up out of a pit, and he'll set me on some ground that's nice and fertile to where I can live for him and see his glory. I think it would be a great time and a great method to close today by just inviting us all down. If you don't want to come down, that's fine. I want us to.
If you think about it, there really shouldn't be any poverty on this earth. But because of sin, God's creation has kind of been distorted and corrupted, and now there's poverty, right? And now people are suffering because of that. You know, people are lost. People need to be shown the way. And God has that way for them. Jesus Christ is that light. Christ came to redeem his creation, to save them from that stumbling through in darkness. And, you know, we know he accomplishes that through his death, burial, his life-giving resurrection. But this is what he says. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, right? And if you have been born again, if you've experienced the new birth of water and of spirit, then you have been called, right? You have been anointed. That's the gifting of God, right? But that gifting, that power, is for a purpose. And the thing is, that power might be latent, right? It might not be fully realized or fully understood. We don't all receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and then like, wow, I understand my purpose in life now all of a sudden. It doesn't really work that way. But you have to do the work to understand it. You have to do the work to understand, what is my gift? What, how should I act out this calling that Christ has called me to? Church is supposed to be powerful. There should be power in our churches. The power is for the mission, right? It operates in the context of the mission. And I'm bringing this to a close pretty quickly here. But the miraculous, right? I want to see the miraculous happen in our churches. But miracles only happen when the church is engaged in the mission, right? The miracles happen for a purpose, and it's to further the kingdom of God. Paul told the Corinthians, he says, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellence of speech, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So he's saying there's a fundamental thing about the church. It shouldn't be about motivational speaking. You know, we have great preachers. When I went to that conference, I'm like, wow, Ken Gurley, he's a really great, good preacher. You know, we have good speakers. We have talented people. But it's not about the talent. It's about the power of God, because that's the thing that changes people's life. That is what changes people's life. So how was the power demonstrated, right? We know the Corinthian church was alive with the gifts of the Spirit in operation, right? That's why Paul had to teach on it. And in that book, you know, he had to tell them, this is how you operate in the gifts of the Spirit with decency and in order. Moreover, this is how you operate in the gifts of the Spirit with the right motivation. 1 Corinthians 13 is a pretty popular chapter of the Bible. It's quoted at weddings, right? Love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't boast. It talks about love. It talks about what love is. The context of that scripture is this is how you should operate in the gifts of the Spirit in the church. That's the See, chapter 12 is about the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 13 is about love, right? The motivation behind that. Chapter 14 also about the gifts of the Spirit, right? So he's trying to teach us. He's saying, hey, love is the source. Love is the motivation for the gifts. But supernatural spiritual gifts, you've heard of these, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, the interpretation of tongues, right? The gifts need to be used in public services with decency and order. They need to be motivated through love, right? But the reason why they're in operation is to accomplish the mission of Christ. That's why the church has been given these gifts, right? Is to accomplish that mission. We have these words that we use. Like this, for example, like this right here, this area. We don't put chairs here, although we could probably fit another row and it probably would serve us well. But this is called the altar area. And that's just one of those things that we call it. It doesn't really look like an altar of old, right? But an altar is a place of sacrifice, right? It's an act of worship. And sacrifice is fundamentally this. It's giving something of great value now so that your future, which is uncertain, is going to be blessed later. Right, that's like the core message of sacrifice, and that's not like the Christian message of sacrifice. That's what sacrifice is for all religions, basically. Right, you're giving up something of value now, something of great value now, so that God will bless your future. Right, you're prosperous now, but you could be starving the next season. Right, you want God to protect you against that. So what do? You give him something that you have now that's of great value. And when we sacrifice, we're telling God, you're in control of my future. Right? Lead me along the right path. Early on in the Bible, there's this principle, right, that, you know, there's this requirement that something has to die, right? Something has to lose its life when you sacrifice to God. The life of the flesh is in the blood, it says. So it's the blood that makes atonement for sin. So symbolically, blood is life. Blood represents that life. Something has to shed blood in order for the sacrifice to have value, to have meaning. But in Romans, it talks about the New Testament sacrifice. So Jesus kind of fulfilled that requirement by dying for us, right? He fulfilled that sacrificial requirement. So in Romans chapter 12, it describes New Testament sacrifice, which does not require blood, right? Because Jesus fulfilled that requirement. But it says in Romans 12 and 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the sacrificial requirement must live, right? We're sacrificing our life now so that our eternal future remains secure. The renewing of our minds is what allows us to live a life that's free from afflictions that we read about in Luke 4, the poverty, the grief, the imprisonment, right? And now pastor often gives what's called an altar call. He's saying, hey, come to the altar and pray, right? And that's another church word, the altar call. You guys know what it is? You've been here before? And we give it a good effort, right? We worship and pray. But sometimes I feel like something's not quite right here, right? You know, it's not that it's not good. It's great. Every time we come in here and we have a move of God and we worship. But I think, I mean, this is true for me at least. So this might, I might be the only one here. But it's almost like I'm just thinking about lunch, kind of. I'm like, I'm giving it an effort, but I'm thinking about, hey, where are we going to go eat after this? You know, I'm thinking about the future. I'm looking ahead like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, right? And I want, let me give you a disclaimer here. My motivations here are somewhat selfish. You know, I want to see a miracle. I want to see apostolic revival. I want to see signs and wonders following those who believe, right? I want to see people's lives being transformed. And why don't we see these things more often? Because I think when we come here and we have the altar call, we look around and really the altars aren't filled with anybody who has a need. You know, God wants to move in our church, right? He wants to send that.